Welcome to the AES Journal Podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. We bring you a combined issue for January and February, which offers 7 research papers in audio engineering, along with a feature article on mastering for today's media. First off the blocks is Hagen Weierstoff and his colleagues from Germany, who describe the perception of focused sources in wave field synthesis. Practical wave field synthesis systems have limitations in the spacing and number of loudspeakers, and speaker arrays can be truncated, which leads to perceptual artifacts. The localization and coloration of sound sources can be affected, and the authors illustrate the various trade-offs that may be made when designing listening configurations. Continuing the spatial audio theme, Sakari Tervo and a group of co-authors from Finland present the spatial decomposition method for room impulse responses. The idea is that a spatial impulse response can be decomposed into a set of image sources. These are suitable for convolving with anechoic music for reproducing room acoustics over a multi-channel audio system and can work with an arbitrary compact microphone array without regard to the sound reproduction method. Listening tests showed that the results could be indistinguishable from the reference in the best case. Kai Seidenberg and Monica Dorfler tackle the problem of audio denoising, considering that most natural audio signals have strong inherent structures, such as harmonics and transients. This makes them suitable for structured sparse representations with only a small number of basis functions. The authors present a generalized thresholding scheme for deriving audio denoising operators, which performs as well as state-of-the-art methods, but has low computational costs. Fixed-pole parallel filters are an efficient alternative to complex smoothing when it comes to equalizing audio systems, says Balázs Bánk. The resolution of the smoothing can apparently be controlled by the choice of pole frequencies. Bánk shows how parallel and Kautz filters are theoretically equivalent and gives us formulae for converting parameters between the two types. In the next paper, Seong-Hoon Kim explains that the digital waveguide synthesis of a traditional Korean stringed instrument, the jeongmungo, needs to handle vigorous playing techniques that give rise to extreme vibrato. The plucked playing technique can cause considerable fluctuation in the decay of harmonics, and a time-varying loss filter with sinusoidal loop gain is proposed for simulation. A generalized Carr plus Strong algorithm is employed here with a one-pole filter to model losses, and the result is that a virtual jeongmungo is in the cards. We go on to find out about how Baron's model can be used to investigate room acoustical parameters in small shoebox-shaped rooms in a paper by Hassan Elbana Zidan and Peter Svensson. It's said that a simple statistical room model, such as this one, remains attractive in comparison to recent complex algorithms because the space can be described with only a few parameters. Measurements and simulations for 3 small rooms are presented, finding errors of only a few decibels for reflected energy and early reflected sound when averaged across rooms in the middle frequency range. Finally, we learn of the influence of a table on a microphone's frequency response and directivity from these same 2 authors. They look in particular at teleconferencing applications, which often use a boundary microphone placed directly upon a table. With small tables or podium surfaces, it is suggested that diffraction at the edges might affect the frequency response, requiring a more detailed model than the simple planar boundary assumption. Responses when using a small table were less uniform than for a large table, and calculated responses were typically within 1 decibel of measured values with the author's model. Moving on to this month's feature article by our consultant technical writer, Francis Rumsey, we enter the working world of the modern mastering engineer. So much material is now consumed through the mediation of Apple's iTunes that the company has come up with a scheme called Mastered for iTunes, which attempts to ensure better quality control from mastering studios to consumers. We find out how it works and whether mastering engineers are ready for the new media express that is rapidly moving out of the station. It's now time to start thinking about presenting your work at the upcoming fall convention in New York. The call for papers is published in this issue, and we're looking for all sorts of contributions, from refereed research papers to less formal engineering reports. If you're doing something interesting with audio engineering, why not submit a proposal and join us in the Big Apple later this year for this premier audio gathering? In standards news, we learn of the latest development in audio network control, as well as various new connectors, such as the recent standard for surround microphones that was published last month. There are also revisions to AES-31 file exchange standards to look at, as well as the carriage of MPEG surround over AES-3 interfaces. Keep up to date and follow AES standards for the latest information. Following our AES section and product news, we conclude with fond goodbyes to two long-standing AES members who recently passed away. Frank Leonard masterminded many of Ampex's tape recorder developments, while Bill Eisenberg was regarded as an all-around on-call technical guru for numerous audio manufacturers in Southern California. Both will be sadly missed. You'll find all this and much more in the latest issue of the AES Journal, available now on the AES website today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.